Good morning. Good morning, Grace Christian Church family. We're so glad you're with us this morning as we enter into 2021 in January. Right now, sharing you the Word of God from my home in Monmouth County, New Jersey. So I want to say thank you and welcome. And my name is Rob Parlante. I'm the pastor here at Grace Christian Church. And I just want to say one thing before we start. We have a lot of worship music pre-recorded. I encourage you to go to our website, YouTube channel, or Facebook and listen to songs prior to entering into this time. Amen? So this morning I'm going to preach a message called Your Life Coach. Your Life Coach. And I think a life coach is something more of a newer idea or a newer concept today. And I want to explain to us and you today through this message in Hebrews. We're going to look at Hebrews 12, 5 to 11. The best ultimate source of a life coach, and that is God. We'll get to that. But brothers and sisters, 43 weeks have gone by, and we're still streaming to you from our home because of the COVID pandemic, and we're praying the Lord would give us an opportunity to come back into our building sometime in the near future. Amen. As soon as vaccinations become more and more available to the public. But I also want to mention that all notes, sermon notes, are available online at njgrace.org and also our Facebook page. And one last announcement. If you're interested in learning about Grace and you want to get on our open new group called Christ is Our Life Movement in Facebook, please join and share. And share with all your friends that are maybe perhaps not understanding Grace or want to learn more about Grace. Join the group and you'll get a daily devotion and a daily scriptures and daily truths that you can communicate with us and comment back and forth every day. Amen. So I encourage you to join that. You know, every week, you know, I come up with a message and I pray. I say, Lord, what should I preach on? And unless I'm doing a series, and brothers and sisters, I did a series in Romans, I think it was like 24 weeks, that ended at the beginning of last year. But if I'm not doing a series, I do topical messages. And we've been doing topical messages ever since the pandemic hit. So I prayed and I prayed this past Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, Lord, what do you want me to preach on this morning? And what kept coming to my mind through the Spirit and prompting was this idea of discipline. Discipline. So I'm going to preach a message today about discipline, discipline that is clearly taught in the Scriptures. You know, and when I want to really expound on that idea of discipline. It's a lot deeper meaning to the word, we'll get to that, and what it really relates to and how it relates to us as believers. But you know, in our life journey, you know, we receive Christ at whatever age, whatever time, and then God intermingles in our lives, our spiritual journey, this idea of discipline. But I want to say this up front, that God is patient and long-suffering. Brothers and sisters, 2 Peter 3:9 says this about God. You know, the Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And that's a wonderful truth about God. He's patient. And he gives us time to repent. And repentance means change of mind. Really, that's the root word, change of mind. So there's idea here of repentance. There's a lot of repenting in different areas of our lives. Repentance of knowing who God is or something about God. We can have our change of mind about God for salvation, for example. We can repent about who we are in Christ, as the Bible says who we are. We have a change of mind of, we can see ourselves through the Scriptures. We can have a change of mind about God's promises, or even a change of mind about what's a sin and what's not a sin. So God is patient and wants us to have a change of mind, and he works in our lives to show us sometimes what we need to change. And he does this, brothers and sisters, to conform us into the image of Christ. He does this so we depend on Christ as our life. Amen. That's the main purpose of it. That's why he does it. Transforms and conforms so we depend on Christ as our life. It's so important. And that is called, in theological terms, this word sanctification. Sanctification really is us as believers in this earth, in this body, in this flesh, being conformed into the image of Christ. But brothers and sisters, Some of us are stuck. Some of us are still, you know, babes in Christ and not maturing. And this is where God comes in, you know. That's why I want to preach about this today. This is where God comes in our lives. You know, he disciplines and trains us and he corrects us to mature us. You know, Hebrews 5, 12 to 14 explains kind of this in a sense where we are immature and God wants us to grow. And I'll read that for you right now. It says, "For by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who become, because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." You know, the writer of Hebrews is saying in this little passage of scripture, these verses, that, you know, you're still immature. You're still a babe drinking milk. You should be eating solid food. You should be progressing, brothers and sisters, okay, from elementary principles. And this is where God steps in. He trains us, corrects us, and disciplines us from being a babe to being more mature. Because sometimes we just don't understand or follow through or understand what he's doing in our lives. And he kind of shows us, you know. And, you know, we're not infants anymore. He's saying eat solid food in this passage. And then really the purpose here is to be trained to discern good and evil. And boy, do we need that today. To discern what is good and evil. You know, look at our society. Look at the culture. Look what's happening in our country today. You know, this society we live in, this country is really, this big term now we call cancel culture, is trying to cancel who? Jesus. They're trying to cancel the only way for salvation, the only hope in Christ. You know what? But we need to be mature and discern what's going on around us, what is good and evil. And we do that by growing in Christ, brothers and sisters. But you know what? He doesn't want us to be an infant. He wants us to depend on him and mature and grow. But we willingly need to take steps of faith to move forward and grow. And a lot of times I see God working this way. He shows us truths we're missing because we're just naive. You know, we're naive to biblical truth. We'll get to that. Sometimes we're just unaware of areas of unbelief. You know, we have patterns of flesh and we just don't understand. We're trusting in something other than God. And he shows it to us. That's how he trains us and disciplines us. And sometimes we fall into a sin and we're rebellious. And we don't want to admit, confess, and we try to cover up a sin, and he works in that way too. So I'm going to look at that today. Because listen, brothers and sisters, God loves us and he disciplines us because he loves us, to live in us and to express himself through us. Brothers and sisters, that is God. God is our life coach. Amen? That's what he's doing. He's guiding, teaching, and leading us and encouraging us to depend and disciplining us to depend. It's so important, dependence on Christ as our life. That's the whole key. That's the whole key, and that's what he wants, dependence on Christ as our life. You know, I went on the web, Google this week and on our my computer, and I looked up life coach. And I said, within a 50-mile radius of my zip code, how many life coaches were there? There was probably a couple hundred. Then I said, why would I pick a life coach? And everybody had, you know, they had their bio there, and everybody had experience in this and experience in that. And I said to myself, why would somebody choose a life coach just off the internet? Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters. And they charge $80 to $200 for an hour session. Brothers and sisters, we have the wisest, ultimate life coach in God. Amen? And he doesn't charge. It's for free. Amen? He is our life coach. We're going to look at that today. God is our life coach. As we examine Hebrews 12, 5 to 11, we're going to discover this. God as your life coach disciplines by revealing areas of, there's 3 points today, naivety to biblical truth. That's going to be my first point. My second point is he reveals areas of existing unknown unbelief. My second point. Then he reveals areas of known habitual sin and how to deal with them. So, brothers and sisters, that's my 3 points we're going to go through today. But before, I want to read the scripture now. I want to read the scripture today we're looking at. Hebrews 12, 5 to 11. Then I'm going to open this time in prayer. Open your Bibles if you have them and follow along. Verse 5 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. What son is there whom the father does not discipline? Question mark. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we much more rather be subject to Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline," verse 11, "for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness." Let's bow our heads and open this time in prayer. Let's pray. Thank you. So wonderful, Lord, that you are a God we can depend on as our life coach. Amen. You're dependable. You are our best interest in mind. And I pray, Lord, as you speak through my lips today to those here, that they would understand that you have your our best interest in mind. And then you want to train us, correct us, and conform us, and use us to express yourself to the world around us. Lord, speak through my lips to those who hear us today on this subject. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. So what is discipline? Well, let's start with that. The passage of scripture I looked at today, I just read, the word discipline, singular or plural, well, that form of that word was used 9 times. So brothers and sisters, when we study the scriptures, when you see a repeated word in that section of scripture, that means it's a key word and a topic of that area of scripture. So the word discipline is used many, many times throughout the New Testament, the Greek form, root word, discipline here. And the idea here really is more than just, you know, we think of discipline as being punished or something as a kid. No, it means a lot more than that. The word in the scripture really kind of relates more to training, correcting, and rearing a child. That's really the basic meaning of that word discipline. You could substitute in the word training there, and it would work just fine. Or correction. Just fine. For example, you know, if I substituted the word training in there, it would read something like this. It would say, "My son, do not regard lightly the training of the Lord." Mm-hmm. Makes more sense that way. Sounds better, and it kind of really, that's the true meaning. It's training.
Right.
You know, or we could say, verse 10, "For they trained us for a short time as they seemed best to them. He trains us for our good, so we may share in his holiness." Brothers and sisters, it's training. It's correction. It's moving us forward to become mature in Christ. And that's the purpose. And that's the reason for it. That's what discipline is. It's really a training, rearing, and correcting. Amen? But the question is why? I'll get more detail. Why discipline? Why training? Why correction? Verse 11 and 12 states it. "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields," that word yields, think about that, "the peaceable fruit of righteousness." So the purpose of this training, correcting, and rearing is to yield the fruit of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, we know in plenty of places in Scripture, Romans 4 and 5, that we are justified by faith, made righteous by faith. So we are already righteous. Amen? We are already in right standing with God. What this verse is saying is that we, by this training, correcting, and discipline, we are yielding and bearing the fruits of righteousness. What that's saying is we're expressing and bearing and showing through us that righteousness to those around us. Brothers and sisters, we are righteous in his eyes by faith. This is saying we are expressing and bearing that righteousness. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 1:11, we know that Jesus Christ is our righteousness because he is in us. That says this, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The fruit of righteousness is Jesus Christ, and he is in us. Amen? So this whole idea of correcting, disciplining, and training is to bear and yield this righteousness, this fruit of righteousness that is in us, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I want to make a clarification between that and punishment. Well, you know, punishment is something, you know, the consequence of doing something wrong, but there's no outcome to punishment. In other words, if somebody commits a crime in jail and goes to jail, there's no rehabilitation in a sense, right? Maybe we claim there is. There isn't. They're in jail for their time and they come out, right? What the scripture is saying here is there's an outcome to being corrected. Discipline is not punishment. Correcting and training is not punishment. It's to yield the fruit of righteousness in your life by showing you something. We'll show you that you are missing in your life. Amen? So that's God's purpose. That's God's purpose for it in your life. And he does it in his timing when he feels it's appropriate in your spiritual walk. Amen? Now, what's our reaction to discipline? Well, let's read 5 and 6. Summarizing. I'll read it again. And you have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. He says, don't take it lightly. Don't disregard it lightly. You're being trained. And I'm so thankful the Lord has trained me on continually. And it's an ongoing process, brothers and sisters, my whole life. He has trained me and shown me things over the course of my life. And even today, he's still doing it. In the global pandemic, being stuck and shut down. He's still showing me things, brothers and sisters. Just don't faint. And you know what the point is here? God loves us. And he's doing it to express the fruits of righteousness through us. I'll read 7 and 8. Let's summarize that. It's for the discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. You know, we are sons and children of God, amen. That's our new identity, amen. We are connected to him, amen. That's a wonderful truth. You know, our earthly fathers disciplined us. And here's the other point here. Our heavenly father disciplines us. Now, our earthly fathers may not have been good examples of discipline because they're human. And maybe they punished us without an outcome for training and some future goal in their life to help us. But no, you know what? We can't always think of our earthly father as the same and project him on our heavenly father. Brothers and sisters, that is a lie from the devil. Our heavenly father is so much more wonderful because he is God. You know what? And this verse is also saying, if we weren't disciplined, we'd be illegitimate, but we're not illegitimate. We're sons and daughters of God. Amen. Now, summarizing verse 9 and 10, furthermore, we had earthly fathers, again, that disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we much rather be subject to Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so we may share in his holiness. You know what? We respect our earthly parents, but maybe they didn't do the best job, but amen, we should respect our heavenly Father. We discipline for a short time, this verse is saying. It's not ongoing. It's not for a long period. Who knows? But God knows the time. Month, 2 months, year, 6 months, whatever it is. You know what? And it's for our good. That's what the scripture is saying. You know what? He disciplines us, brothers and sisters. He corrects us. He trains us to bear the fruits of righteousness, which only comes about when we depend on Christ as our life. Dependence on him who is in us. Now, I'm going to get into my 3 points now. This is how I've seen God discipline and correct and train over the course of my ministry, at least 30 years. This is what I've seen. Here's my point one. God, your life coach, disciplines by revealing areas of My point one is naivety to biblical truth. You know, we receive Jesus, we pray, whatever time that was, whatever circumstance that was, and we just know this one thing. We prayed to receive him. We asked him to forgive us of our sins. The Holy Spirit indwelt us, and we're saved. And we're like, we just have this euphoria, most of us, and say, thank the Lord I'm saved and I have him as my life, you know, and I'm going to heaven when I die. Most of us start with that. We don't start off being biblical scholars and knowing Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way at the end of Revelation. We don't. We don't know every scripture. We don't know all these wonderful truths about God and about the Bible, about who we are in Christ, about grace, new covenant. No, we don't. We just know and are thankful we're saved. So many of us, we all start this way, we're just basically naive to biblical truth. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. In other words, we're ignorant to the truth. And that verse is saying, you know what, we have these former patterns of sin, we have these former patterns of doing wrong thinking, have wrong thinking. That's ignorance, brothers and sisters. So we are babes in Christ, like I said in Hebrews chapter 5 there. And that's this category of folks. We just don't know. We just don't understand. And God orchestrates the training to reveal to us what we are missing when we sincerely want to know it. We weren't never heard it, perhaps. We were never taught it. We were never preached it. I'm very thankful for my whole life that I've been under good, godly men, scholarly men, that have trained me. God has used them to help me understand wonderful truths. But brothers and sisters, some of us didn't have that. But you know what? God knows, John 8:32, that if you know the truth will set you free. So God is working to set us free from the bondage and wrong thinking and the sin patterns in us by showing us and revealing us truth, because we are just naive. Biblical truth, brothers and sisters. Now, I thought to myself, who would be a great example in Scripture about a person who is sincerely seeking to understand the Lord, salvation, and God reveals it through a person? And that would be the Ethiopian eunuch from Acts. So I want to look at him for a second. Acts chapter 8. And kind of look at his history. And see how God worked, how he trained and corrected and moved him from somebody who didn't really understand to having the wonderful truth of the gospel. Acts 8:30-31. It says, Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, the Ethiopian eunuch said, well, how could I unless somebody guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Well, who was Philip, brothers and sisters? Well, we can say he was the first evangelist, amen? But in other words, this man is reading the scriptures. Philip is saying, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, I don't understand. That's many of us. Naive, don't understand, just don't understand the truth. And he was reading, I'm not going to get into it, you can read it yourself, about Isaiah, a passage from Isaiah, written 700 years prior to this time, about Jesus being led like a lamb to slaughter for the forgiveness of sins. That's what he was reading. But Acts 8:35 says, Philip then opened his mouth, began from the scriptures, he preached Jesus to him. So in other words, God used Philip, and God uses other believers, a preacher, a message, whatever it is, the prayer, the scriptures, to reveal this truth. And this is what happened. In chapter 8, 36 and 37, as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. So, he believed. He didn't understand the truth. He was naive to biblical truth. He was naive to the scriptures. And God used Philip to explain to him the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So he was confused. I'm sure he was conflicted. I'm sure he was had anxiety about his future. He had anxiety about his ends in eternity. You know what? We don't know exactly to drill down to see his life because we don't have a snapshot of that. But I can tell you, he probably wasn't in a good spot. He was searching. He wasn't experiencing joy. He was probably even sorrowful and had a lot of anxiety and depression about his future and eternal destiny. And God, his life coach, worked it out. You know what? He used Philip to explain to him the gospel message, amen. And that helped him in his dilemma. Brothers and sisters, God does that for you, and God will do that for me if you sincerely want to know. He will show you a truth, a biblical truth, that you are missing. The Ethiopian eunuch was trained in righteousness. And here's one expression of fruit. He got baptized. He got baptized right away. He said, you know, I want to be associated with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I want to, I want to project that. I want to show that I've been risen with him. And I want to do what the scriptures say. And he got baptized. Amen. That's a fruit of righteousness. Now, I'm sure if we could track him from there on, God probably used him in mighty ways, amen, and kept revealing and training him further and further as a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, amen. So that's one way. God trains, corrects disciples by showing us areas of naivety, the biblical truth. But here's the second way. God, our life coach, disciplines by revealing areas of existing unknown unbelief or beliefs in something that are wrong. We could say it like that. Now, well, how do I say that and why do I say it? Well, let's think about this. Think about your life. The day you received Jesus, whatever that day was, you know the day you received him. I know I did, you know, in a church office with a pastor that I met with in my church years ago, 30 years ago. He showed me the gospel, explained the gospel. I prayed, I received him. I was so thankful. But that's all I knew, that I was saved. But as I started living and growing and moving forward in the Christian life, I realized I have this thing called flesh. What is flesh? Well, flesh is trying and attempt to live independently from God and trying to get our needs met of love, acceptance, value, worth, and significance in things of the world, but not for Christ. It's a system of beliefs we develop to cope, to get through life. And we all have this, brothers and sisters. We all have developed in some way or fashion this flesh. Now, you could be 5 years old when you received Christ and you probably don't have as much flesh, or you could be 60 or 70 when you received him. You have a lot more flesh to cope with life. But the point here is that God reveals areas in your life of flesh and areas where you're not depending on him and depending on something else. This is unknown to you at the time, areas of unbelief in God's promises, amen? So what's he doing? Christ does this and tries to show you your area of unbelief. Also, if you think about flesh and areas of flesh, and we think about this, and Romans talks about sin being in our members, these patterns being in our members. You know what? Just because we sin, and we do all do, doesn't mean that's who we are. We are a saint who sometimes sins. Now, you can read Romans 7. I'm not going to get into the whole thing today, but the point is when we still make wrong choices and do the wrong things, it's because we're still trusting in those patterns and those sins that are in our members in a sense. Romans 7:23 says, I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So there's a law of sin in one's members. That's flesh. That's areas of unbelief in God's promises and depending on self to live your life. It's a wrong system of beliefs, amen? Now, sometimes we just don't know, and many times we don't understand our flesh. We don't understand why or where we're depending on things other than God, so God steps in. He's our life coach. You know what? We have an issue. It's all of us. We have the same. We have unbelief in God's promises. We have unbelief in things what Christ says to believe in. We don't believe in what he says about who we are. You know what? But when we receive him, we just know we receive him. But God reveals and identifies areas of unbelief flesh patterns about ourselves and about Him. But I can say this. Most of us are in a category called stubborn. And we don't want to come out of our comfort zone of belief, our belief system, right? Sometimes, and many times, the Lord has to step in to kind of, you know, get us out of our comfort zone of believing the wrong thing to believing the right thing. And He does this in His way, and it's His timing. You know what? God coaches me differently than He coaches you. God has a specific coach plan, training plan for you to conform you into His image. So your areas of unbelief and flesh are different than mine. So God comes in. He steps in and He works, brothers and sisters. He's working because He wants to express the fruit of righteousness through you, amen? Because you are righteous by faith and He is in you. But He wants you to depend on Christ as life. So I can only give you an example. There's really no good example in Scripture about this to show you about a person that I can find. But I can just give you my personal testimony about me, about my life. You know, like most men, young men, I went to college, and then in my early 20s got a job, and I was working in a company second or 2 years out of college, amen, a really good, stable company. And if somebody asked me back in those days, 25, 26, 27, 28, all the way up to 30, early 30s, and said, you know, who you are, I would have said I was a Christian. I would have said, I'm an engineer, because I was, and I'm in sales, so I'm a sales engineer, okay? And I found that my value and worth was in that. In other words, my value and worth was in my position, my career. And the way I kind of went along life was, if I was successful in that career, and I had a good year, achieved my goals, I made a bonus, I felt good. I felt significant. I felt I had value, and I felt I had worth. So my identity, in a sense, was in that position, in that job. And those guys have heard me many times. I've shared this in my personal life. After 12 years of being in that one organization, and I was in my late 30s at the time, I got called into an office one morning, and they said, your services are no longer required. And that was like, to me, a shock, because I had no longer had a job. I had 3 children under the age of 10. I had a wife, had a mortgage payment, and I lived in Bergen County, New Jersey, which is a very high-end, expensive area to live. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do here? How am I going to move forward here? And I just remember just basically being crushed and just feeling sad. And, you know, I would have said, if you said to me, Rob, did you trust the Lord? I said, of course I trust Him. But this is God coming in as our, you know, life coach. He's saying, yeah, you say you do, but now I'm going to show you really if you do. And I'm going to show you a big thing, that your identity was in the position and the career. Son, I want to show you your identity is not there. Your identity is in me, in Christ. Now, that's me personally. And He showed me that. Yes, it was horrible. I was sorrowful. It was difficult. And God worked it out. I got a job a couple months later. I was on unemployment. He worked it all out. But during that time, I had my belief system shooken up to understand that my value and worth is not in that position, that career, that job, my intellect, my bonus. No, it was in Christ. I came to understand that, brothers and sisters. My significance is in Christ, and that was me. I learned a new belief, and from there forward, I had a new belief system. My belief system was my identity and value and worth is in Christ. It's not in those things of the world, brothers and sisters. And I express fruits of righteousness by me even sharing that with you, right? And God exposed to me an area of wrong thinking and unbelief, brothers and sisters. And He does that for all of us in His way and timing. And what He did for me is different than what He will do for you, sisters. But your life coach, you know, he reveals areas of existing unknown unbelief in who you have become and promises in Him. So that's another way He trains and corrects. But here's the third way. Now, this is the way most of us think when we think of discipline. This is God, your life coach, disciplining and revealing, and I'm also adding exposing areas of known now, habitual sin. You know what? We think about this, you know, about, oh, look, God's going to discipline you. You're in some kind of hideous sin. Yeah, well, okay, well, let's look at that. Sometimes, as believers, many times, we sin. Doesn't mean we're not saved, doesn't mean we're not righteous, but we make a wrong choice and we sin. And some sins are worse than others. And some sins have very, very poor, very bad consequences to those around the sin or to another person. So a person sometimes is in rebellion to God, rebellious, and says they know they've done something wrong, but they don't want to confess it and agree with God it's wrong, nor do they want to deal with it with people that they've hurt or people that they've wronged. They just try to brush it under the rug. So I call this, you know what, God disciplining, exposing known habitual sin. And this person is a bit rebellious and says, you know what, I don't care about this thing I did. I'm going to brush it under the rug. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to move forward in life. And I don't care what the church says. I don't care who I hurt. And sometimes we are like that, right? That's our flesh pattern. But he exposes it. He exposes it. God exposes it most often. Not every time. Some people die and never gets released, exposed. But he exposes it to those around us, to those around the person. And he trains the believer this, to acknowledge it's a sin, one. And he kind of works it out that the person needs to make it right with other people. Now, that person's already forgiven, right? You know, sins under grace, past, present, and future are forgiven. But what God is orchestrating is he wants the person to ask for forgiveness to the people in the horizontal that he's hurt by doing that sin, amen? And he wants him to confess that sin, agree it's a sin, and makes it right. That's the kind of discipline we think about when we look at this passage. Well, yeah, that is part of it. That is part of training. But then God also wants to show the person why they sinned. Expose an area of unbelief and the root cause of that sin. Brothers and sisters, some people say we have no sin. They said that in John. Those are people that said, no, I don't need Christ. I have no sin. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know what? We still sin as believers. The question is why we sin. And brothers and sisters, sin will always find you out. Talks about that in Numbers 32, 23. Our life coach is there to help us remove the sin, forgive us of the sin, helps us deal with it in the horizontal, and helps us to move forward in peace so we have fruits of righteousness. Amen. And he's not going to let it go. You know, sometimes we're just in a situation in turmoil and turmoil and turmoil and turmoil, and it won't release. It won't go away. Maybe the reason is there needs to be some reconciliation somewhere with another brother or sister in Christ. That, I don't know, is between you and God. But yes, God does do it in discipline in areas where there is habitual, known sin. Amen? So in conclusion, what do we look at today? Who's our life coach? God's our life coach, amen? The wisest life coach in the universe is God. Brothers and sisters, you don't need to seek on the internet to find a life coach. You have a life coach. And that's him. He's God. He communicates with us through other believers, through messages, through the Spirit, through prayer. Amen? He's our life coach. He's training us. He's correcting us. He's rearing us so we depend on Christ as our source of life. That's what he's doing in our lives. Amen? And I find the three ways he normally does it, when there's naivety to biblical truth, like the Ethiopian eunuch, we just don't know, and God shows us and trains us and shows us the truth, reveals it. Unknown belief, he shows our flesh patterns, areas that we're not depending on him, areas of unbelief and wrong thinking. He shows us that in that way. And then he shows us in areas of habitual, known sin that he wants us to make right with others around us, brothers and sisters in Christ, even though we are already forgiven, amen. All for the purpose of this, to yield the fruits of righteousness. Do you want to yield the fruit of righteousness? Do you want God to work in you more fully and through you more fully? Brothers and sisters, ask him to train you. Pray to him to correct you. Pray to him to do these wonderful things, because he will do it. You know what? If you say, Lord, teach me, and I know it's scary at the time, teach me and train me, you know, it will happen. He will do it to you, brothers and sisters. He will show you your areas of unbelief and move you forward in the Christian life. Brothers and sisters, there's a purpose in it. God is your life coach. He loves you. He's training you. He's correcting you because he wants you to bear the fruits of righteousness. And I can say this as we enter into 2021, this year, boy, do we need this. Because brothers and sisters, we need as Christians to be trained so we can train others and tell others about the gospel message. It is so important, and we'll talk more about that next week. Thank you so much for this time. And I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we'll see you next time. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we welcome your training. We welcome your correction. We welcome you rearing us as a child. I pray, Lord, that areas that we don't depend on you, areas of wrong thinking, areas of flesh, that you would show us and reveal to us, that we would depend on you as our source of life. You can express yourself through us this year. Make it a priority in our lives, Lord, those listening. Work in our lives so you can express yourself through us to share the good news of the gospel like Philip did to the Ethiopian eunuch. People right now need hope. I pray, Lord, you work through us in that way and make us mature and live on solid food and be able to discern good and evil in the society in which we live. Thank you, and Jesus, we love you, your precious name. Amen.